Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called Exactly What It Feels Like to Be Dyslexic and the Help That Can Make a Difference. Joan Espacio didn't realize she was dyslexic until she was 44 years old. Because she couldn't read or write, she says, she was constantly trying to hide what she thought was her stupidity. The day she was diagnosed with dyslexia was one of the best days of her life because she realized she wasn't stupid. She was able to learn, just not in the same way that everyone else did. She was so excited, she decided to go back and get her degree so she could make a difference in other dyslexics' lives. And in this audio interview with her and her husband, Les, owners of the Dyslexia Resource Center, you'll hear her amazing journey, the resources she's compiled to help dyslexic like her, and how to know if you or someone you love might be suffering unknowingly too. You'll also hear what it feels like to be dyslexic. Joan says, for her, it's like being constantly handed a book in Chinese. She can't sound out the words. She spells words differently each time she writes them, and what that struggle is like, along with the strategies she uses that help. You'll get a shocking look at how schools are supposed to be helping kids they think might have dyslexia and what's really happening. You'll hear why low-income dyslexics might still be falling through the cracks and where to go for affordable help and diagnosis. You'll learn about debunking the common myths about dyslexia. You'll learn what kinds of things you should look for if you suspect someone has the disorder. Joan says because dyslexia is an invisible disability, it may just look like a dyslexic simply isn't trying hard enough or that they're just not as bright as someone else. It's a struggle that not only affects a person's academics, but also their self-esteem. It doesn't have to be that way. And in this audio interview, you'll hear how to get the kind of help for dyslexia that really makes a difference. Now let's get going.
Hi, this is Chris Costello, and I've teamed up with Michael Senoff to bring you the world's best health-related interviews. So if you know anyone struggling with their weight, with cancer, diabetes, ADHD, autism, heart disease, or other health issues, send them over to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. We're talking with Joan and Les Esposito of the Dyslexia Awareness and Resource Center, located in Santa Barbara, California. The center provides information and support services to children and adults affected with dyslexia and attention deficit disorder and other learning disabilities. Joan spends much of her time advocating for teenagers with undiagnosed learning disabilities in both the public and private school systems and the public court systems. Joan is an adult with dyslexia and attention deficit disorder. At the age of 44, Joan could barely read until she was remediated at Santa Barbara Community College. Joan has experienced all the frustrations and challenges of a functionally illiterate adult. Joan has also served as state president of the California Learning Disabilities Association and previously served as their government affairs chairperson. She has been instrumental in legislation on dyslexia both on the state and national level. Joan is recognized throughout the country as an expert in her field and has participated on both state and national panels related to learning disabilities. Now, Joan, you wrote a letter about your experiences being dyslexic. Would you care to share that with our listeners?
I wrote this letter, and it was published in a book called Letters to the Heart. It was a letter I wrote to teenage girls, to young girls, just not to give up, always follow your dreams. The title is, When You Walk Through a Storm, Hold Your Head Up High. As a teenager, I sang these words over and over, though I could never remember the rest of them. I knew they were about light and hope at the end of the storm, and I'd lived in a storm until age 44, when I discovered that my struggles with spelling and reading were from a neurological condition that causes dyslexia, a difficulty with language. When the specialist who gave me the test said I could learn how to read, it was as though that was the day I was born. It did not mean that I could not learn when I have dyslexia, but my brain learns in a different way. Unfortunately, none of my teachers in school knew how to teach children with dyslexia. When I was a young child living in Liverpool, England, I found learning exceedingly painful and humiliating. Every morning I woke up sick to my stomach, knowing I had to attend school. To me, it was a form of child abuse because I simply couldn't learn no matter how hard I tried. As a result, I was afraid to socialize with my classmates because I couldn't read or spell like them. I felt like I was constantly teased. And my teacher would say I could learn if I tried harder. I'd go home from school feeling like a failure. Without the diagnosis of dyslexia, I failed to go beyond the fifth grade and was functionally illiterate. After my divorce, it led me to my 9-year-old son and I becoming homeless in Santa Barbara for several years. And 17 years ago, with the help of my new husband, Les, I founded and became program director at the Dyslexia Awareness and Resource Center. It houses one of the largest lending libraries in the country on learning and attention difficulties, and our services are free. Ever since, I've helped families demystify learning differences, and I advocate for children. Many adults also seek help because of their undiagnosed learning disability. The center now receives over 2,000 requests a year from around the world. My message is never give up, believe in yourself, pursue your dreams no matter how long it takes or how hard the journey is. Always remember to your own self be true. If you're not, nobody else will be. It may take a while and you may feel that you're never going to make it, but be persistent. Don't let others talk you out about making your dreams come true.
So Joan, can you tell us a little bit about just exactly what is dyslexia?
Well, dyslexia is, number one, it's an invisible disability. I have dyslexia, and my condition wasn't identified until I was 44 because I don't look like I have a condition such as dyslexia. And dyslexia is simply a Greek word. Dys is difficulty, and lexia is reading or language. So I have a problem with information that you may be speaking to me, and I process it much slower than you do. I also have a problem with retrieving information, and it's caused by a difference in brain structure that is present at birth. And we have a lot of research going back to the first research I found out about this was Dr. Albert Galaberda at Beth Israel Hospital had dissected the brains of deceased dyslexics. And he found the structural differences in the brains. So it isn't something that you're going to give us a pill and we're going to get over it. You can't correct it with good nutrition. So what you have to do is you have to teach us how to learn in a different way. It's called a multisensory way. So when I'm reading or when you're teaching me how to spell, if you just have me write it out, it will never stick to my brain. My brain won't hold on to it. If I'm reading, very often it's like I'm reading Chinese because I can't sound out the words. In other words, it's someone who has problems matching the sound to the symbol on the page, one of the foremost.
And how difficult is it to diagnose dyslexia?
It's not difficult at all. It's not difficult at all.
And do most people or most children get diagnosed early on, or how does that work?
I think more and more children are being diagnosed now because we have, I'd say in the last 10 years, we've had a lot more public awareness on it, but still not enough because, you know, I read an article today and it was entitled Stopping the Schoolhouse to Jailhouse Pipeline by Enforcing Federal Special Education Laws. And in the federal special education laws, the school is supposed to go out and search for these children, look in the classroom, look in the juvenile court system, look in alternative schools, and see if that child is struggling with reading and writing and give them the assessment. The problem is it is not being done. So that's the really sad side of this, although the exciting side is we do have wonderful assessment tools to find out how severe your dyslexia is or how mild it is. We also have some wonderful private schools, but we don't have any private schools in the Santa Barbara area, and we don't in Lompoc or Santa Maria. There are wonderful specialists who can teach us the basics and how to read, how to spell, and how to retain it, but they're charging anywhere from $50 up to $125 an hour. So the problem with that is the low-income children don't have that benefit.
Even for the average person, that's going to add up to get a little pricey.
So. Absolutely.
So you had the condition yourself, and you and Les basically started the Dyslexia Awareness and Resource Center to address your concerns, or how did all that come about?
Actually, our son was going to school, and he wasn't diagnosed until he was 18. And it was a neighbor who said to me, Joan, I think Joel has dyslexia. I think you have it. And I went, what's dyslexia, you know? Then my son was identified privately. I was identified at Santa Barbara City College. And I've always said it was like the first day I was born because it meant that I wasn't stupid. When I got those test results, I said to Les, I'm not stupid. I really can learn. I can go back to school and I can get a degree. For me, it was the most incredible day of my life, besides giving birth to my son and marrying my husband. But it was Les who took me to City College to get the assessment, and I needed his support because I didn't understand the education system. And so what we do now is, you know, we were working out of our home and working with a lot of juvenile delinquents. And then a group came to us and asked us to open up this center. And Les, because he does all the paperwork, he does all the grant writing, we were able to open up the center and not charge people for services. So we can demystify what this condition is to the parents. So the parents are not telling the child, you know, look, they'd say to me, Joan, look, he can spell it correctly on one line and four lines down. He forgets it. He's just lazy. Well, no, that's part of the condition. I can spell it correctly once and then incorrectly several different ways on one page. I know the condition. I can discuss it because I have it. I've studied it for 20 years. And less than I've done a lot of radio and television shows with this. But as if it wasn't for his support, we wouldn't be here.
And Les, did you notice with Joan the symptoms, or were you aware of what was happening?
Joan and I first got together. Joan had asked me to correct a letter that she had written for her son, at that time my stepson at the school. And my background is education, and I thought this would be a perfect way to help her write a good letter. And so, like most teachers of that age many years ago, I took the letter and I circled every mistake and gave it back to her, and she immediately started crying. And we were just beginning to date, so I figured I had really blown it. So I said, don't worry, Joan, I'll help you write it right. And she says, it took me 2 weeks to write this letter. I had been in education probably about 10 years, 15 years at that time. Had my degree in education. I was principal of high school. I went through the education process through the school system. And I had never heard of the word dyslexia. By the time Joan and I got married, and then our son was having trouble in high school, we began to realize that he had a problem, especially when he was dealing with a foreign language. And when Joan and I had to go to a parent meeting, someone mentioned, as Joan just said, he might have dyslexia. And Joan, for the first time I heard her ever say, you know, there was a girlfriend of mine said that Joel might have dyslexia. They said, I might too. And all of a sudden, things started clicking. Joel and I didn't know much about dyslexia at that time. But we knew that we needed to support our son. And we knew we had to find more about it. And there was a program in our Santa Barbara area called
Dyslexia and the Criminal Mind.
Now, we knew our son was a criminal. It had something to do with dyslexia. Joel and I went to that talk. And this is when we heard about dyslexia and how you observe different aspects of it. And Joan at that time was a recluse. And she put up her hand in front of this whole crowd. It was the first time I ever see her do this. And she says, I think I have dyslexia. Where can I be tested? And that's when Janice Shapiro from the Students with Disability Program for Santa Barbara City College says, Joan, we can test you over at Santa Barbara City College. And as Joan explained to you, she was tested. And she had dyslexia and ADD. And she had the courage to go back to school. It's very hard to go back to school. First of all, to admit that you can't read at 40 years old and
Les
to go back to school.
Drove me to school every day. I wouldn't have stayed if I'd had a car.
I think Joan, once she got there and she started working at it, and she began to start matching sound with symbol, like she was telling you about, and she started beginning to read, I could see that she was so excited about it, that she was going to learn how to read. Just imagine if you're 40 years old. How did you survive 40 years without reading and writing? One of the fallacies about people who have dyslexia, people think that these people aren't smart. And they are. They're very smart. It's not a question of intelligence. It's a question of processing. And when Joan began to realize that she could process, that she could match sound with symbols, and that she could begin to read, she worked at it very, very hard. And pretty soon she was reading, and it was hard for her. It was hard for her to go back. After 40 years of Joan's life, you know, she had been put down so many times because of her inability to read or understand. She was in an abusive marriage, and she had just gotten out of that just before I met Joan. And it was difficult. It was very difficult. But Joan has this inner strength that once you get to know her, you really begin to admire her. I don't think I could have done what she did. But once Joan got through the program, she was so excited about it. She went back to Santa Barbara State College, and the head of the Department for Students with Disabilities, and went up to her teacher, and now the program director out there, Janet Shapiro, said, Janet, the whole world has to know about this. You know, we're going to go into schools, and I'm going to get you into these schools. And Janet said, Joan, I don't think the schools really want to hear about it. She said, oh, yes, they do.
For more interviews on health, mind, body, and spirit, go to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. So she got inspired.
She got inspired. Basically. I've talked about Joan many times, and I've always said Joan has a vision quest. Once she realized that she could learn how to read and write, And she understood the pain and suffering that she went through. And she saw the pain and suffering of many of these children that she's come in contact with. She decided that she was going to do something about it. Not just talk about it. And not just go out and complain about it. She wanted to open up a center to bring awareness and resources to these children.
To offer solutions.
To offer solutions. Mm-hmm. And there are many solutions. Yep. You see, a person with dyslexia can read and write if they're taught in the proper way, like Joan told you.
Yeah, though, I think something was very, very important to me, and that was the computer. Mm-hmm. Because the motor process of moving my fingers and seeing it, for some reason, the spelling words stuck in my brain. It was just incredible. If I was to give any to a child, it would be a computer. And now we even have even more incredible programs. Because you have programs where, you know, if you can't get your thoughts out in sequence, then there's computer programs that help put your thoughts in sequence for you as you type them in. And, you know, we have all this information at the center.
Speaking of that, I want to go ahead and give out the website address for the Dyslexia Awareness and Resource Center. You can find them at www.dyslexiacenter.org. That's DYSLEXIACENTER.org. And they would be happy to hear from you and give you more information if you or someone you know is struggling with this. Now, what kind of things should people be looking for if they have a spouse or a child that they suspect might be dyslexic? What are some of the symptoms?
For a child, an adult, poor spelling problems, letter reversals. For instance, I have a problem with left and right. If you say to me quickly, you know, Joan, turn right, I'm not going to do it. I have to process that information. So if I process it, I know, okay, I know this is right. I get to a door, it says push and pull, I will just go back and forth. If I come up against something quickly and I haven't had time to process it, I have a directionality problem. Child or someone who's reading out loud, which, you know, they're not going to read out loud. A lot of the teenagers I deal with will not read out loud. They would rather get into a fight at school and become the class clown or become the behavior problem, and you can sit them outside. This way they don't have to read out loud. Then we're talking about mental health issues. Then we're talking about stress and anxiety and low self-esteem. Then we're talking about children turn to marijuana, turn to drugs and alcohol, and adults do the same thing. Because they're constantly trying to hide what they think is their stupidity because no one has told them that they're very bright. They just have not been able to learn up until this point. So the spelling problems, the reading problems, math problems, I will reverse numbers. So these kids are hiding. They're hiding their disability. They're finishing up on welfare. They're finishing up from juvenile court onto the welfare program. There's a broader spectrum of dyslexia here. You also have what you call learning disabilities, and dyslexia is one of them. It can be a child who has problems tying their shoelaces, telling time, times table. I still do not know what my times table is. The months of the year. If you ask me for a month in the middle of the year, I have to go, January, February, I have to go all the way through it. For my alphabet, if someone says what comes after M, I have to go A, B, C, D, E, F, and then I have to go through it. I learnt my alphabet by singing it. And some people say, well, I know my alphabet, I just sing it. Well, they may not know the alphabet if they happen to sing it. There's a rhythm there. You know, the biggest thing is the children, they're either the bullies or they stay away and they become, say, the class clown, or they become very quiet. And meanwhile, they're still not learning. Now I get a lot of adults in here who are having to work on computers in their job. And now, where some of the adults were taking their work home for their wives or their girlfriends to work on it, now the work has to be done in the office on the computer. They can't do it and they lose their jobs. So I've given talks to the homeless population from here to Texas. I've given talks. The majority of the homeless have started out with having dyslexia and now they have mental health issues. I have two 19-year-old boys right now, very simply, who I'm working with, had learning disabilities. The district has been fighting us for like 4 years and not giving them services. Now they have emotional disturbances, and now they need mental health problems. So this really is a crisis in our society for mental health, because what you're doing is you're bringing these children up to have to lean on society, to have to go on the welfare system, to have to go into our mental health system. And the sad thing is, Dr. Samuel Orton, who back in the 1930s opened up a school and taught people how to read and write. He specialized in dyslexia. Why haven't our public schools tapped into that? Why aren't they tapped into what's going on in the private schools? And so it becomes a mental health issue. The other thing here is that I'd say every client who has walked in this door, all the people who've had dyslexia, everyone has had some form of attention problem, whether it's with hyperactivity or without hyperactivity. Then there's the other side where I have clients just who have the attention deficit disorder but have no learning disability.
So sometimes these things are mixed in and they're hard to figure out.
Okay. Yes, absolutely. So if you assess for the learning disability, you really should assess for the attention deficit also.
We've been talking with Joan and Les Esposito of the Dyslexia Awareness and Resource Center.
That's the end of our interview with Joan. I hope you have found it helpful. If you'd like to hear more interviews on health, wellness, and marketing, go to my site, Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.